Our Christmas service is look more at the providence of God concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus. When I say the providence of God, it's God's ability to use circumstances to fulfill his purposes. We know God gives us a free will and we can choose him or not, but he is sovereign and he is the ruler of the world and circumstances, and he is able to bring to pass what he deems must come to pass. And he's able to use kings and queens, beggars in the street, girls and boys, earthquakes and floods, accidents and sickness, health and prosperity to do his work and to bring these things to pass. And so today, rather than just looking at the Christmas story, I want to look at the God behind the Christmas story and how he was at work bringing to pass what he has deemed wanted to come to pass. And so before we actually look at Luke, I'm going to just read from Micah chapter 5 verse 2, which is a very common and well-known verse where we read this: "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Now there's a number of things in that passage about talking about how the Christ was he was there before he became a man, he was from everlasting. But the key one is 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, God had told his prophet that the king, the Messiah, was going to be born in Bethlehem. Out of the millions of cities in the world, out of the thousands of cities in Israel and Judah, Jesus had to be born in that little town of Bethlehem. Not the main city, Jerusalem, not what would have been the main city of the whole world, Rome. Jesus could be born nowhere else but Bethlehem. Now, with that in mind, let's have a look at chapter 1, and we discover that this was posing a problem when he chose Mary to be the mother of, or the one, the mother of Jesus. Because Mary lived around about 100 kilometres in a town called Nazareth. It says there in verse 26 of chapter 1, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." So Nazareth was certainly not Bethlehem. "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." And so she was told that she was going to be pregnant with the Messiah, the Son of God, the Holy One. And I have no doubt that she had every intention of having her child, this first child, in a hometown surrounded by her friends and her family. They may have had something set up like ladies do today, just waiting for that baby to be born. But God, we know, had other plans. And his plans had been plans for at least 700 years. And that is, no, Mary, you're not going to have it in Nazareth with your friends and family. You're going to have this baby in Bethlehem. Now, how on earth is he going to get an 8 or 9 month pregnant lady to travel 100 kilometres? When I was working this out and getting this ready, I think there's only one lady in our church who would be in that predicament now, and Anna would not want me to mention her name, so I won't. But I don't think Robert would have much chance of getting her on a donkey and traveling down to, I don't know where 100 kilometers away is, Melbourne. Let's go for a walk to Melbourne. All right, I can't see that happening. And so there had to be something where it wasn't quite her choice, but it was deemed necessary. And we see how, I want us to see how God used two men to bring to pass what he had deemed would come to pass. And so here we see the providence of God at work. If we turn over to Luke chapter 2 verse 1, we read of the first man. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius, when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went out to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And so here we're told about Caesar Augustus. He is the nephew, if I got it right, of Julius Caesar. Caesar, the king of Rome, the emperor and ruler of the greatest part of the world. And how is God going to use someone who doesn't even love him and he lives so far away? Well, God says in his word that he holds the heart of every king and he can turn it any way which he desires. And because he held Caesar Augustus' heart within his hands, lo and behold, it came to pass into Caesar's mind, it was time for his kingdom to be taxed once again. It wasn't like a tax like we have today. It was he wanted a list of citizens to know who was in his empire, how many were there, what their employment was, how much property they owned. He wanted to know about his citizens in his kingdom. But he not only ordered that they have a census, he ordered that everyone had to go back to their ancestral town as well. And so wherever you descended from, well, that's where you had to go and travel to get this. So there was mass traveling throughout the kingdom of Rome. And you think about that, for most citizens of Rome, which would have been hundreds of thousands, if not millions, they thought this was just a big inconvenience made by a crazy, greedy Caesar way over in Rome who just wants to make their life hard. That's how we would have thought, you know, if our government or someone makes some crazy command that we have to do or law, we think, you crazy person making our life hard. I suspect that's how most people were thinking in those days. Little did they know they were right smack bang in the middle of the providence of God. I wonder if anyone considered that. God had to get a pregnant lady to leave her hometown and her family and get her to travel over 100 kilometers so she could give birth in Bethlehem. That was God at work. And the whole Roman kingdom had to suffer for it, so to speak. But not only that, let's remember with the providence of God, the timing of this decree as well. Not 6 months before she was due, so she could have the baby in Nazareth, and then they travel with baby Jesus to Bethlehem. That wouldn't work either. Not 5 months or 4 months after she was due, so that she could go to Bethlehem and then come back and then have the baby at Nazareth. No, it was the exact time that she was due, really due, to give birth to this child. So there was nowhere else she was having it except Bethlehem. What if they were only going to stay there for one night, do what they had to do and go back? It had to be the exact day. That's the providence of God. And it must have felt like a struggle to Mary. She must have wondered, why, Lord, now? But he was in control. He had turned the very heart of Caesar himself to make a decree to tax the whole world. And no matter how well Mary might have planned and wished that she could have had this baby at Nazareth, God was going to use this inconvenience to get her to Bethlehem. And I think it's good for us to remember that God does use some of the greatest, most powerful men and women in the world, and even in their foolishness, he can use that to bring to pass something for us. Maybe not us, maybe another Christian, but God is at work. But to make sure Jesus was born on Bethlehem, it wasn't just having to work in this man, Caesar's heart. He also, in his providence, had to do a work in Joseph's heart as well. He had to make sure that Mary was espoused to a man whose ancestral town was Bethlehem. And here we see the second man that God used in Luke chapter 2, verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Have you ever thought, what if Mary fell in love with Sam from Samaria? Or Jared from Jericho? And what if she was espoused to someone whose descendant wasn't King David and from Bethlehem? Why Joseph? Why not Sam or Jared? Well, that's the providence of God. Out of all the men of Israel, think of all the men in Nazareth and where they descended from as well, Mary just so happened to meet Joseph and just so happened to love Joseph and just so happened to be espoused to Joseph at this time. And this Joseph just so happened to be from the line of King David. So they had to go to Bethlehem when this census was called. Now, is that coincidence or is that the providence of God? Can God bring a man and a woman together that he knows is right for each other? Of course he can. Can God, by his divine power, use something as simple as the love of a man and a woman to fulfill and bring to pass what he wants? Well, of course he can. And he's done that many a times, not just here, but this is special. This relationship wasn't an accident. It wasn't a coincidence. It was the providence of God at work. If Mary was espoused to Billy from Bethel, or all the other ones you want to pick, she would not have been there at Bethlehem that day. But God said the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And so he used a king, Caesar himself. He used a worldwide decree. He used a humble carpenter and the love of a man and a woman to bring this to pass. As I said, he's able to use anyone or anything to fulfill his will. And we need to keep that in mind, that this same God is still alive this very day today. And he's using people and he's using circumstances to fulfill his will in the lives of others. And I don't know God's will for everyone here, but I do know God's will. One thing that is God's will for everyone who is here. It's found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I know God's will is that we all come to that point of repentance, where we admit we're a sinner and we turn to Christ, knowing and believing he died and paid that penalty for us, and we receive him as our Savior. And God's will is that to happen, and he'll use anyone for people to get to hear that. A random stranger stopping a person in the street and telling them about Jesus. A workmate inviting them to a Christmas service, a leaflet that gets dropped in a letterbox, an accident where some Christian has a sickness or an accident and they end up in a hospital, and so does some other person who needs to hear about Jesus, and they get to talk about Jesus, and Jesus uses that providence to tell that person about Christ. And if you're a believer today, can I encourage you, those times of inconvenience that you experience maybe today, this week, in your life, stop and wonder, is the providence of God at work, where he is bringing me to a place to be able to share that good news with someone and take the opportunity. It's easy to get frustrated and we miss the reason. Yet if you're here today and you're not a Christian, can I just tell you that God, he loves you, he thinks about you, and he wants you to know what he wants to do for you, to cleanse you of your sin and make you a new person and save you from eternal punishment in hell. And just like the Lord was able to get this pregnant lady to Bethlehem to fulfill his purposes, God is able to use anyone to bring you to a place where you can hear that gospel. And I'm so glad God is at work there. Maybe a neighbor, maybe a daughter, or a friend, or an invitation in a letterbox. But if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, can I ask you, please understand you're not here by accident. You're here by the providence of God, so you can hear this message. Just like I trust lots of people are hearing this message if they come out and worship the Lord on Christmas Day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you that somehow, somewhere, we have heard the gospel. And Lord, I pray that each person here could say, yes, I have believed it, and received it for myself. Don't let them have rest until they do that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.